Book of Luke again tonight, please. Book of Luke, chapter number 2. I do not believe in the month of December I've ever preached so many messages on the Christmas story as I have this year. A few years back there were several, but it's been almost nonstop since the first of the month. Wednesday nights, we began to deal with the life of Christ, and of course you must deal with the birth of Christ. Amen. We've talked about many aspects. Sunday school, we began to do very much the similar thing. And by the way, we're not done in Sunday school. I think next week we'll be talking about the visit of the Magi, the wise men. But what a great, wonderful story we have in the Word of God concerning the coming of our Savior. Sometimes you'll hear the term used, the first advent. What that is language just try to confuse you. You found that out in Christian circles? That sometimes there's language just meant to confuse you? Just say amen. I mean, you have heard terms that you never heard before, okay? After you get saved. Term atonement. You don't normally use that term when you're talking to your friends on the streets, you know? But what a great, wonderful truth in the Bible. But we do find that we just have great, great, wonderful story here of our Savior and His coming. I want us to notice tonight a particular aspect of that story. We've looked this morning, we looked at the background to two people. One was Simeon, as we've discovered in the morning service, tonight Anna. In that background, we noticed that a Jewish boy was to be taken to the temple two times. On the eighth day, he was to be taken to the temple to be circumcised. And, of course, that is emblematic of the fact that the foreskin of the flesh, that which it's just flesh, and it's speaking of really the foul portion being taken away. And so when a person accepts the Lord Jesus Christ, why the flesh needs to be eradicated. It's a picture of that. For the Christians, we look back to it. We also find that there was the presentation of the male child after 40 days. I teased a little bit this morning, but I really do not know why. A female child was presented after 80 days. And I have no idea why, other than it just takes longer to get the girls there, get them ready. I don't know what it is. But after 40 days, the male child was presented. And the firstborn of every family was to become a priest for that family. That was in the original plan of God. We found that back in the book of Exodus. But then we find that when God was about to take the children of Israel into the promised land, He changed that. By the way, God can change whatever He wants to change. Amen. And so, in place of the firstborn, He made the tribe of Levi to become the priests of the land. But still, these boys would be presented after 40 days. And in that presentation, it was really more of a purification act for the mother, as they would bring then a sacrifice. And that sacrifice would be given in lieu of her cleansing. And so we find that also what took place, I should say this, at the circumcision was the naming of the son, and then at this time the presentation of that son. And of course, with that baby in tow, with the Lord Jesus Christ, we find because they were obedient to the law of God, fulfilling what God wanted to do, they are now in the place where two people can give Him honor. Remember, Jesus born in a manger. Jesus born among lambs, born amongst animals. You and I, we go to hospitals. There may be some here who are born in your home, but I imagine they really cleaned the place up. But she gets there, evidently on the night of His birth. There's no room in the inn, and they are delegated to the manger. And this manger is just nothing more than the birthing place, really, of the lambs. And this is where Jesus was born at. And so He was born in poverty. He was born as one of lowly stature. The Bible says He humbled Himself. He became like you and I. Amen. And He came to this world that we might have everlasting life. But we find on three occasions that He is adored for who He is. One of those is the shepherds come to Him and they give great praise. We've looked at that. We find then secondly, Simeon and then Anna that we will look at tonight, they give Him praise. And this happens because His parents are obedient and they are where they are supposed to be. Okay? They're where they're supposed to be. By the way, if you're not in church and something good happens, guess what you missed? Something good. Amen? Just say amen. Come on, folks. Get with this program. And we find that they were in their place and something good happened. We also find the Magi and their visit as well. And we'll be dealing with that next Sunday morning in Sunday school time. Now, because of the character of Simeon and the character of Anna, I believe that their adoration in the temple was more favorable and acceptable than perhaps anybody else in the temple. They were there because they wanted to. They were not, Anna wasn't, and as far as we know, Simeon was not of the tribe of Levi. And we find that these two just happened upon the Lord. I believe in divine appointments, don't you? I believe that God has a reason you're here tonight. I believe that God has reasons that we bump into different people in different places. And it's not just by chance. It's the providence of God as He leads. And so we find these two in their place. Read with me, beginning in verse number 36. Just three verses here tonight. It says, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant," what instant? Well, Simeon was blessing. "She coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." I want to speak to you tonight about the person and the performance of this woman we call Anna. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight. We have the privilege to enter this house. We do ask You to speak to our hearts now from this Your Word. Bless us tonight. And oh God, I pray for any in this room who may not know You, that it would be a night they come to know You. For those who do, it might be a time that we can know You better. Lord Jesus, work on our hearts tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like for us to, first of all, tonight, as we think of the person of Anna, to look at her name, Anna. It is the same as the Old Testament name, Hannah. Hannah, of course, was the mother of Samuel. And this name means grace. What a beautiful name. One of our missionaries that I've known for many, many years, Brother Tom Peace, his oldest daughter is named Grace. And matter of fact, we supported them for some time as they were in the land of Mexico. She and her husband, the Onofrios, you might remember them. And what a wonderful name she had. Here's a woman that not only had the name, but she lived the name. As she is portraying the grace of God day after day, as she ministers in the temple. I don't know about you, but I've known many of Christians. By the way, that word Christian means Christ one. The Bible says they were first called Christians at Antioch. Why was that? Because they lived like the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, folks, I'm not so interested in the term or the tag that you place upon yourself as the tag that others place upon you. For instance, we call ourselves the Open Door Baptist Church, and some people make a lot of the name Baptist or the term Baptist, but that's a term that was actually placed upon people as a result of their practice and their belief. Okay? They believed that when a person got saved, they needed to get baptized. Now, baptism doesn't save us, but it's certainly an act of obedience. Amen? Well, there were people who had been in churches, they'd been baptized as babies, and now they got saved, they came to know Christ their Savior, And so they would rebaptize them. So that was how we got that name, rebaptizers. It was first Anabaptists, and then they got rid of the Anaplars and the repart, and so the Baptists. But it's more important, I believe, what people have the tag on you, your reputation. And so here we find this lady who is living by grace. And if we're Christians, we ought to live now as Christ ones. Amen? Notice something here. We notice her age. This is interesting. Verse number 37. She was a widow of about 84 years. There's a lot of debate about this, and you and I could sit up all night and debate it. But as we look at this, it's basically one of two things. It's either she's 84 years old, or she has been a widow for 84 years. How could that be? Well, remember that some of these folks lived to be quite old. Okay, Methuselah, by the way, was 969 years of age. Okay, she wasn't that old. You say, you believe that? Yeah, I just happen to believe that. Okay, Moses lived to be 120 years of age. Okay, I believe Abraham was 147 years of age. And so, if she was a widow for 84 years, remember, she lost her husband after 7 years. And so in those days, marrying very young, it'd be very possible that at this point she's in her early hundreds. Okay? I doubt if it's in her late 90s, but her early hundreds, she's still serving God. I read this. Matthew Henry said this, the commentator. He said, it's a pleasant sight to see age-old Christians abounding in acts of devotion as those that are not weary in well-doing. Listen, brethren. You know, you can retire from secular work, and God's people might say amen to that, but we never retire from the work of God. I've known preachers who retired from the ministry as far as their church is concerned, but they've not retired from working for God and still at it. Matter of fact, last summer when we were in Costa Rica, a good friend of mine, Brother Jack Cox, came to preach here. He pastored for many years in La Porte, Indiana, and he's still doing the work. Teaching a Sunday school class in his old church, by the way, with a new pastor. And as God allows him, he's preaching in other churches and being a blessing to other churches.